B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh yeah. I didn't hear him at all. I just thought, like
you're doing the Rodney Harrison role on this team, yeah, man, which I give you credit for.
Don't compare me to him, man.
Why? That's a compliment.
Compared to that guy,
really?
Yeah, no, I'm good. He.
Is there something there?
No. I have nothing against him. I just don't want to be compared. Definitely not to him.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. To the Redskins.
He's a great player, great leader, Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, he just does things differently than myself.
Okay.
All right.
That happened on Wednesday here on Zolak at Bertrand. Kyle Van Noy pushing back against the comparison to Rodney Harrison. He would prefer that no one compare him to Rodney Harrison. He's asked that we not compare him to Rodney Harrison. Dan, I know you'd heard that at some point this week. What did you think of that? What was your reaction to hearing?
Well, I like both guys, and I think we all pretty much do, but there's some deeper thing going on there.
Oh, yeah.
This is like if you ask me about Deion Sanders, who I hate. You know,
really?
Yes.
What could he do to you?
And it's always about something else. There's another issue at play, other than just the transparency of seeing what's obvious. So
make a play.
It's not because Harrison, you know, he got popped once. It's not because of a few infractions on the field or playing. You know, he went over the line, dirty hits, whatever you want to call it. There's something else, and I don't know if anybody's approached, you know, your guy on this or not, but Van Noy, like, to ask him what this is really about. Maybe he doesn't want to give it up, but there's something else, don't you think?
Well, yeah, there's definitely something else.
I mean, so, yeah.
He talked in the locker room, but I don't think anyone's done any real digging on it.
Yeah, and
in fact, from what I read, you know, there's more people that cover the team that want to pretend like there's nothing at all being said. Like, there's no issue at all.
I don't know how you listen to that and not think that Akeem went out of his way to say that. We didn't ask him.
Yeah. That's some sort of a personal thing or something happened in the past or whatever.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah. He's got a thing.
There's something to it.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to find out what the real reason is.
No, probably not.
No.
But there's something there. Two very likable guys and guys that have been on winning teams and have been, I think, leaders. I think Kyle Van Noy is a leader on this defense, isn't he? I believe he is.
Yeah.
I look at him and say, that guy's one of the leaders on this team, a team that's won Super Bowls.
He's one of your top three guys on defense. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. And I offered that up, as I said in the clip. I said, that's a compliment. You're taking on that role of being that guy or that. Looking for those psychological edges of they got it out for us.
You gave them all.
Look, if they're not giving us the credit, we got to go out there and prove it to them. And hey, this team's slighting us in some way, and they weren't.
Yeah,
but they will find those things. They will find the slightest things and turn them into something was said about us, and someone's talking trash about us, and someone's trying to say we're not good, and let's remind them who we are and how good we are, and that's what good teams do, even when you are getting all kinds of credit, which this defense certainly is, locally, nationally, everywhere. Everyone's talking about how good the Patriots defense is.
Of course.
So they're going to have to work hard to find the trash talk or find people that are not believing
in
them.
Nobody thought we could do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to have to work hard.
And nobody was better than that, better at doing that than Rodney Harrison, which is why this came up.
And so you've been around forever, NFL, locker rooms, the whole thing. I mean, there aren't people. There's not a group of people who don't like Rodney Harrison. I mean, it just doesn't exist, right?
I don't think so, no.
It's just,
I mean, there was a lot of stuff made. When Rodney got inducted in it, there wasn't a lot of back and forth with him and Tom, which was talked about a lot. And I'm like, okay. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
But then when people bring it up, like, you're kind of right.
But it wouldn't be like if AB went in the Hall of Fame and Tom would like give his speech for him.
You were closer to that, though, because you were sort of around that.
Yeah.
You were down there.
Rodney Kidd's more defense-centric. Like, he's keeping it about the defense and those guys he played with, you know, like Willie and that. Like, and they talked about how bad, like, you know, Troy hated him at the beginning because he tried to knock Troy out every day in practice. Same thing with Kevin. Then ended up loving the guy because he ends up winning. And Rodney had to do that, he said, to galvanize himself within that locker room. To prove that I'm the guy, I'm the right guy.
Were you talking about in the speech? Is that what caught people's attention?
That and just like that, they were like, well, "Where's Brady at? Why's Brady around?" You know, Like, normally Tom would pop in on one of those guys getting inducted. And, you know, I know he showed up with Kevin. Remember Kevin's thing? He had Kevin's jersey on when he got, when that suspension thing was going down and all that. But those are offensive guys. And what I've, what I took out of that is, wow, these defensive guys really take it to heart that they're the reason they won, you know, those championships at the beginning. And the offense sticks together, and Tom and Dion and those guys, you know, and it's just the transfer of, and we tried to build the tight end position and Gronk, you know, and all that, the evolution of it. They're very personal about which side helps.
But you don't
win
get a
more.
Sense of that with like.
But
Tom.
they were always together as a team. They never divided the team. But I think as we sit back and look at it, you know, shoot, 14, 15, 16 years past it, 18 years. Like, okay, which unit was stronger? I thought the defenses carried them through the first part of the championship years, where the offense now has carried it, and I think it's now come full circle where the defense could carry them this year.
But if it's Tom and Willie McGinnis, you don't have that. You don't.
No,
that.
Those guys have a great friendship.
Right.
Those great. Guys are close
friends.
So there's
friends. None of that our side, your side with him and Willie.
No, I mean.
So it's so there just might not be a close relationship between.
Well, same thing with Revis. And Revis here, like he and Tom really competed against each other in practice, mm-hmm. and it got nasty at times, but there's that mutual respect of you're the best and I'm the best, you know? And it helped them win. But no, Tom and Willie are tight as hell. Tight as hell.
So maybe it's just they weren't, you know, not every teammate.
Maybe Rodney was a different type of guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, not every.
Right or wrong. I mean,
not every teammate is friends with every other
but
teammate.
But it's not, I'm not making, this is not a big deal, right? But people are like, oh, well, Brady didn't say, well, why does Brady have always have to say, give that guy his due? That's why he's getting inducted. Not because Brady's coming to make a speech. Rodney's speech was great. It's fantastic. And then Bill ends up showing up, making the biggest play. This guy should be in a freaking Hall of Fame. Oh, him and a bunch of them. Get it going.
So Brady has been at other speeches and other.
Not many. I think, I can't remember.
He was at Kevin Fox, you said.
He definitely spoke at Fox because he had the Falk jersey on.
Okay.
And that was a whole back and forth with, remember Kevin wore his at the draft.
Right.
And the whole suspension. That was the, you know, free Brady thing.
Richard Seymour, he got in recent years.
I thought.
Was Brady at Seymour's?
I thought I remember seeing Tom off to the side at one of them. I can't recall. Not that this is a big deal. But everybody's thinking, well, what's the difference?
I just know you've mentioned this a few times now, and I'm like, what is
that? People
mentioned
it to me, and I didn't notice it.
Now we have to go back and find out.
But no, normally, like, and maybe, like, you know, Brady's more, he's in debt to those offensive guys to play with him, you know? He's a different relationship. You spend more times in meetings and working with those guys, and. You know, Troy's the one that started the whole slot thing here. And it eventually led to Walker, and then Tom worked with Walker. Now Jules is his guy. What, you don't think he's going to be at Julian's? Come on. When Julian gets in, please. Yes.
Well, no, but that.
But I don't think he chose not to be a Rodney. Different. So maybe he wasn't asked.
We're talking specifically about defensive players. Like defensive guys. He had to have been at Willie McGinnis. Right?
Like Rodney requested, one of his guys, you know, that came and I sat next to him. It was a running back he played with at, you know, San Diego. You know, just people that are important to Rodney. And I think, you know, Willie was up there and, you know, Ty. So.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up next. Thought on this weekend's game against the Redskins. They are going to play a game this weekend, and I'm wondering if the Redskins could possibly fire their coach at halftime of the game. Like, is that something maybe they could do?
I wouldn't hold it past this owner.
I mean, that'd be sort of new and exciting, where at halftime they could announce the coach isn't coming back for the second half. You could take the coach out like you take a quarterback out. That is coming up.
Unlikely to return.
Yeah, unlikely. Put him on the make an announcement in the press box like it's an injury. The game this weekend, what kind of blowout are we in for? That's right. We'll talk about that. Dan's dates coming up at 11:50. And in between all of this, Read and React at 11:36.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know what the plan is for this week at quarterback?
Right now I'm going to continue to evaluate Case's progress with his foot. Obviously Dwayne and Colt with his leg.
We come back Wednesday morning. We'll have a practice, and we'll see where they're at.
Does New England's defense, kind of their status, you know, defending champions, give you any pause of playing Dwayne potentially this week, or do they have anything to do with it?
It has nothing to do with it. I will absolutely play the person who I think will get us, give us the best chance to win.
That's Jay Gruden, who's on the verge of losing his job, we think, with the Washington Redskins, who the Patriots get to play this weekend. That's from earlier in the week. They don't have a quarterback. And there's also this report today. Jay Gruden did not want the quarterback, one of his quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins. A person with knowledge of Gruden's thinking has confirmed the head coach did not want Dwayne Haskins. And while Haskins has publicly downplayed any suggestion that he wasn't Gruden's choice, a person close to the rookie quarterback said that Haskins has sensed that to be the case. Wow. That must be a real comfortable working environment. How do you think that goes day to day down there, so?
Well, I mean, you're a winless football team. And the thing I see, too, and you see some of the stuff with Haskins is, when something goes bad on the field, the camera pans right to him on the sideline. He's in a tough spot. And then you catch him smiling, whispering to somebody, like, this is awkward. Because he knows he's going to eventually play, right? You're the first-round pick. He was picked in the teens, wasn't he, like 14?
Jim, where'd he go?
15th. 15th overall.
So, I mean, he's going to play before the year's up. I wouldn't throw him little wolves to this Patriots defense. I think Colt McCoy's the guy, and that's the guy you go with right now. Until he gets hurt. He's eventually going to get hurt. He always does.
Diana Russini had this on all the way back on April 25th, the first day of the draft. She reported that there was disagreement within the organization about whether to select a quarterback in the first round, and if they went in that direction, which one to take. Russini noted at the time that Dan Snyder and President Bruce Allen preferred Haskins, but others were making a case for Daniel Jones. So that choice got taken away. Jones went number six to the Giants, so then they didn't have a choice. So they then went with Haskins when their pick was up at 15. And then the quote from Gruden in June on Haskins was when he was asked, you know, is Haskins going to have a chance to compete for the job? Is this going to be your quarterback this year? And he said, oh, for sure. I'd be silly not to. He's put enough out there on tape to say he deserves a shot, without a doubt.
It's a little reluctant.
Like enough out there. You just drafted him 15th overall.
It's a weird answer. A
very weird answer. It almost confirms that he didn't want the guy.
Yeah.
So they've got a quarterback they drafted 15th overall and a head coach who doesn't want him on the team. Awesome. You know what you got to do? Someone's got to go. You can't fire your owner, although that would probably be the best thing for the franchise. And for the league to get an owner of that team who actually knows what he's doing. That would be the best thing. But that can't happen. You can't fire your owner. So you've either got to fire your GM or fire your coach.
Right.
Bruce Allen's been there a long time. I don't think he's going anywhere. They're going to fire their coach.
Yeah. It's inevitable. Probably going to get fired right after this game.
I'm telling you, make an announcement in the press box at like halftime. Will not return.
I'm not going to do that.
You know, questionable to return. Ineptitude.
The Patriots had that happen once.
Attitude.
You know how hard it is. You know how hard it is to get ready to play these type of games out. Like if you're New England, and that's the one thing I talk with the coach. I mean, you go into Buffalo's environment. It's like 3-0. They're juiced. The place stamped up. Their crowd's into it.
Inefficiency.
You're going down here in the Redskins. It's like, oh, like how do you get ready? You know, do the same thing every week. Get ready to play. I'm like, yeah, but your players are human. They know who they're playing. You know, you watch tape. It's like, oh, this guy sucks. You know. Not that you're going to cruise.
Our head coach 90%. Will not be returning for the second half due to the score of the game.
Something happened with the coach.
This is the perfect spot for him to get fired after this game because they are probably looking for the Patriots to absolutely destroy their team.
This is my guess.
They are hoping for the Patriots. I absolutely believe this to be true. This is not being sarcastic. I'm willing to bet that Snyder and Allen are rooting for the Patriots to come in there this weekend, gut their team, absolutely destroy the Redskins on the field. They will fire Gruden after the game, and next week they have the Dolphins, which is a soft landing for the next guy to take over and not look embarrassing and have a bit of a, you know, soft jumping off point.
Yeah, you win the game and everybody says, oh my God, they've turned it around. They did the right thing here.
So that's what I think happens. They want their team to get blown out this weekend. The up top, the leadership in Washington, they want their team to get blown out at home this weekend to the Patriots.
But it won't happen while Zoe is still in the ground in Washington. It'll be the next day. It'll be Monday.
I agree.
They won't do it like
literally. We'll do it Monday morning.
Oh, they might go Mike McCarthy style. They might walk in right after the game like they did with him in Green Bay and let him know, you're out of here. Pack up your office. Pack it up. Tonight. Seriously, let them know at halftime. Hey, after the game tonight, let your team know you're not coming in tomorrow morning. Let them know you're done here. They're so dysfunctional, Dan. They could fire him after the game. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
Stupid team. Redskins. Never going to be any good. 617-779-0985. Joe in Rhode Island up next. Hi, Joe.
Yes, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
My thoughts about the Patriots game tomorrow, Sunday is I agree with you guys. They should destroy the Redskins. And last week's game, I told my mom in the car that the Patriots would score no more than 24 points against the Bills. And I was right. They scored 16 because Buffalo had a good defense. And my
what's your mom say?
What's your mother think about that prediction? She said she was. I agree with you because Buffalo has a really good defense and they play good at home. And
I'm smart.
I just thought that was a good game. But my game this week for the card is Green Bay and Dallas.
So you're in our football card now?
Who are you taking in that one?
I kind of like Dallas at home, but watch out for Green Bay because. Rodgers is pretty good, but Dallas shouldn't.
That sounds like you're making your pick of both teams.
Last night, I called up from the basement. I said, hey, Ma! I like the Cowboys at all!
That's good. I like the defense.
Watch out for Rodgers!
What is she doing back
there? Hit the trash.
You know what she's doing? If she put the bet in or not, I told her to be careful. Hey, watch out for the Packers.
I was right with my mother in my car.
Ed's in Nashua on the Red Sox. Ed.
Why us?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Middays. Hi, Ed.
How are you today, guys?
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Zoe.
How we doing?
Hey, not much. Just chilling. Yeah. Kind of a quick question for Dan, I guess.
Dan Shaughnessy, yep. Mm-hmm.
Who possibly would come to the Red Sox as general manager when you have the Fab Four and Sam making all the picks and promotions now for scouting positions and stuff like that? When you have to cut payroll, and they're going to get force-fed management people in the scouting department.
This is a very good question, well-framed, well-set-up, and all the things you say are true. And it's been a little bit underplayed that they did some hires, like the scouting, and you know they made all these moves after Dabrowski was fired before having the new guy come in, which is really, it's fairly weird. And then kind of also planted the story that they wanted ownership to be perhaps more involved moving forward. So, yeah, I think it's not a desired job is the way everybody thinks it is. Next guy's probably going to look bad, but there is some curiosity to why they made moves that generally the next guy would make.
We have a new name for the Red Sox front office if they don't hire someone from outside. It's going to be the Fab Four and Sam, thanks to Ed.
Yeah. It's like a band.
Yeah, the Fab Four and Sam.
Sam and the Fab Four.
You know the Delphonics are coming to Twin River again in a month?
Yeah.
The Fab Four and Sam.
The Fab Four and Sam.
That's it.
Like Zoe and the Boys.
Zoe and the Boys.
The Fab Four and Sam.
The Fab Four and Sam. It's not an attractive job when you say, well, the owner is going to be more involved now, so he has to come to all the meetings.
Was that the guy I want to talk to?
With his Google Docs and his Google spreadsheets.
And we're strangling
our payroll.
There.
He's going to be there with his checkbook. He'll decide what you get to spend every meeting. He's after all these years of spending like crazy, he's decided he's cutting back now. And you can't spend your way out of this one like he's letting everyone else spend their way out of it.
Our mistakes are still here. We can't forgive that.
Yes. And so he's more involved now, and you've got like four assistant GMs.
The Fab Four.
And you've got Sam.
And Sam.
And you've got the owner. And we need to cut $40 million in payroll.
And Beatles,
what? Oh, yeah, and trade Mookie Betts, and JD's opting out.
Another story that should still pop on them is Sale's elbow. What's going on? He had the injection like 8 weeks ago now. They're supposed to look at that a second time and decide whether to do Tommy John or not. And until that's cleared, you don't know that you might lose him for the year de facto.
Here are the headlines. Read and react coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time to read.
Can we all just agree that beating up your son is worse than blowing a little weed? Yes.
And react.
I don't like it from behind. You keep moving, you know. Kind of like it if you were standing there when the guy turned around.
With Solak and Bertrand.
Notorious B.I.G. You dressed in all white, right?
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That is the Shaughnessy Open for Read and React. We did not produce that for today. That was already produced weeks ago.
Yeah.
You were already a part of Reading
React. How much you are a part of our show.
You didn't even know that, did you, Dan?
That would be bad if I'm driving around and hear that. My goodness. Thanks.
Did you feel any of it was out of context?
Not at all.
No, okay, good. All right, well, let's begin then.
We got
three. I like to time it between 10 and 2. Here, Read and React with Zoe and the Boys.
Zoe and the Boys.
Zoe and the Boys.
It's like me and Tom Cruise playing volleyball. Hey, hanging with the boys. Little volleyball game after this.
Right. Thursday night football.
No shirts off.
Seahawks beat the Rams.
Good game.
Rams, 30-29. Missed field goal. Went, well, wide right. Was it really that wide? It was very close.
It was close.
Very close.
Good kicker, right?
Yes, Zuerlein.
Oh, he missed. They better get somebody in, work out against him. You heard 2-6 yesterday? All day? They go through all the numbers now.
No, because I don't obsess over 2-6.
Kostowski?
That would be the Felger and Maserati program. Marconi, a winning show.
Junior's Maz is wanting people to come in and compete with him. And now he's pretty good, Mike. We're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. Look at the numbers. This guy sucks. And this guy sucks. You just don't sign Nugent. Everybody in. Bring a new fresh face.
That was on Felger and the Boys.
Felger
and the Boys.
Mike and the guys.
So anyway,
they've been asking for that 2 years now. The sky's falling, unbelievable.
Asked for someone to push him, not to cut him. Push him.
You're going to miss him. You're going to
cut. He's on IR. Listen,
right, next
the Rams kicker sailed one just right of that right upright. And after the game, Russell Wilson was talking about Paul Allen and his influence on the game.
What? Paul Allen's dead.
Yeah, well, they inducted him in.
Exactly.
They inducted him in. That was their night last night.
Exactly.
Ring of Honor.
Paul was a guy who thought big. He believed big. He created Microsoft. You know, he was a person who helped change the world and make an impact. He gave me an opportunity, you know, and I was standing in the locker room. I think that when we gave the ball to one of his best friends and coworkers, I said, you know, Bert, I think Paul blew it on that one. Let's a little bit to the right.
Blew on the ball. Knocked it out. It was Paul Allen night last night in Seattle.
Yeah, we had that here.
Well, some people.
The Baltimore guy missed
it. It's a nice touch. That's your face in a franchise. What do you want him to say?
He's trying to say something nice about Paul Allen.
Did somebody say something like that when he hooked it?
It was Myra. Remember, it was against the
MHK. That was the MHK.
The Ravens.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that in the playoffs.
The little wind.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
Yes. Same.
2011 when they went and played the Giants.
Exact same thing.
I find both to be completely plausible. I think that's probably what happened in both cases.
I think the kicker shanked it.
I don't think he shanked it. I think he just barely missed it. There was a pretty good kick.
I think in the Baltimore game, the kicker shanked it.
Oh, well, it's not a shank.
Stop saying shank.
He hooked it. He hooked it. He hooked it.
He hooked it.
What's that guy's name?
The Baltimore kicker?
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name?
Sorry, you remember.
Billy Cundiff.
Billy Cundiff, very good, of course.
I don't remember anybody invoking Myra than that, though.
I do.
Oh, really? Look it up.
I don't.
I can do that.
I don't either. But that was MHK.
Go to the clips.
But I think there's just going to but a big reason why.
Bing, bing, bada bing, bada boom, bada bop. You just walk in on a Consigliere.
Jets play the Eagles on Sunday. We were talking about this game already. Sam Darnold, not knowing if he was going to be able to play, talking to, I believe it was just yesterday, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah. I wouldn't even go near him.
It's a tough thing because, you know, you want to stay safe. I want to, you know, I want to make sure that I'm safe out there.
Keep your tongue in your mouth.
You know, I'm not going to die. And I think that's one thing. But for me, sitting back and watching the team play and not having anything to do with the win or the loss is it's not a good feeling for me.
Okay. I mean, it sounds melodramatic, but if you are dealing with mono and you could have the enlarged spleen and... Yeah,
Chris Sims had his spleen explode. He played and he ended up doing surgery on it.
Yeah, well, that's not good. That's not
it's not
for.
Good. Right.
Septic. I think you can go septic
shock.
And that's septic's bad,
like
right?
MRSA?
You don't want to be septic.
You don't want a spleen explosion.
No.
No. How can something be that nasty be inside you?
What, a spleen?
Yeah. A lot of bad stuff going on.
Well, no. When that happens, it's internal bleeding. You can, like, bleed out and die.
Yeah.
And not even know what's happening. And then you just drop dead. You want to drop dead?
I never thought you'd bleed out inside.
Then we'll be talking about Zoe. We'll be talking about Zoe pushing a field goal wide to the right in the playoffs. You know?
I blew it one way.
Makes a man miss and he's gone. He's going to the 45. That's almost a 15-yard pickup.
These UMass kids.
He's gone.
He's gone. Look at him go.
So he's gone nearly 15 yards.
So I got a little beep back there. Yeah, you guys are making fun of the broadcast, huh?
Those guys love it.
They love it.
They absolutely love
it. People are talking about us in UMass making fun of the broadcast.
They love it.
The college kids getting airplay on a major radio station.
They number one.
They cut up the highlights and send them to us. They want us to play them.
Give us more.
Miss and he's gone. He's going to the 45. That's almost a 15-yard pickup.
A 15-yard pickup, he's gone.
He's gone.
Double, he could go.
12 yards. He took four whole steps. Unbelievable.
Niedermeyer.
All right. Final read and react clip here. The Bears play the Raiders in London. Derek Carr, not happy with Vontaze Burfict's season-long suspension. He's got something to say about that.
Let's hear it.
I think he's one of the most misunderstood people in the NFL. I know that he's had history in other places, but I think people change. I don't think he was trying to hurt that man. The man was going down.
No. There was another man trying to make a man miss, and that man was going down.
Make a man miss. Here's what I think the problem is.
I'm worried about Carr, too.
Here's the problem. I think, and I've heard from people that have covered teams that Burfict has been on, I think off the field, Burfict is known as a pretty good guy.
I've read some stories on him out there that he's been the model teammate out there.
So he's a great teammate.
For 3 seconds,
he lost his mind.
Yeah.
And on the field, he's a maniac.
I don't know about that, though. He was a first-round pick, surefire first-round pick, and he got drafted in the 7th round.
Why? Does he have off-the-field stuff?
I'm assuming they wouldn't just be on-the-field things.
I don't know.
But guys like playing
him. I don't know if he has
I've heard the same stuff. Have you seen Romanowski on this? Romanowski's like, when you go to war, man, in your battle, you're taught to kill.
Oh, boy.
This is ridiculous. He got suspended.
Well, Derek Carr has more to say on Vontaze Burfict than his suspension.
You know, we see other people choking people out, and they're going to play this Sunday. We see other people hitting people in the helmets, and they're going to play this Sunday. And Vontaze Burfict won't play the rest of the year. I think that's a little excessive, if you ask me. He's a great person. His heart is broken because he's not playing football. The guy just wants to play football. We don't get a lot of time to play this game in our lives, right? You know, I've broken many a bones. I'm sure he's had plenty of injuries. So to be suspended for something like that for a whole season, especially with what went on during the week, if we're going to be fair, we need to be fair with everybody.
Yeah. If he wants to play football, stop spearing guys.
Stop trying to decapitate.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time. You know what? You have more time after you get done playing football, and you don't want to be walking around with CTE because some knucklehead was allowed to go out there and continue to make helmet-to-helmet hits like Vontaze Burfict. That's why they're suspending him for the rest of the season.
This is a guy that people feel, a lot of people feel, that AB is having the issues he's having right now because of two hits Burfict put on him. Laid him out twice.
So most of his, I don't know if he has any sort of what his off-the-field issues might be, but... It says that in some of his scouting reports coming out of college that they said he was a loose cannon on and off the field, but it was all on the field stuff that had caught all the attention. all the same type of thing. Personal fouls, ridiculous helmet-to-helmet hits, grabbing face masks. Like, he was just a maniac.
Intimidator. He's an intimidator.
Same thing he does now. Same crap he does now.
And that's the reason he got
But the people that have known him off the field say, like, oh, he's not a bad guy. He's just, when he put him on a football field, this guy's out of control.
You probably love playing with him. Yeah. I mean, because, like, you love some nut jobs on your team. You really do. You need some wild men.
All right, that does it.
Three.
I was AFC Player of the Week, like,
once.
By the way, if Romanowski played now, we'd talk about him the same way we talk about Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was nice.
So if Vontaze Burfict had played 20 years ago, you'd think of him differently than what people think of him now.
Someone told me a story. I forget which team, whether he was on Denver. I think he was at Denver at the time.
He's like 20 years.
They were late. Doing a walkthrough, like just outside with just helmets and shells and shoulder pads. And just walkthrough speed. They're just doing walkthrough. The coaches are teaching them. And someone said Romanowski came up underneath the quarterback, knocked his helmet up, knocked the guy out cold, and practicing a walkthrough. He's like, that's how I go. Like, he's nuts, too.
Unstable. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We've got Dan's dates next. Phil Perry joins us at noon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Okay, today is October 4th. Dan is with us on a Friday this week, not Thursday. So what do we have today, Dan?
Best
Dates
time
are
of
off
year.
By a day. You should have been here on
cool
the 3rd.
Crisp October, I love it. You know, it's baseball, playoffs. I know Zoe's, you know, going to his TV to find all the games, all that stuff.
Nope.
But anyway, so how old do you think Sam Huff is today? Because it is his birthday.
84.
85. Did you ever meet him?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah, love to.
He's kind of a crusty old guy. He was good.
Oh, yeah, you know, the old Ernie Donovan of the world.
And he worked for Marriott for a lot of years.
He did.
And we all got Marriott VIP cards and all this stuff. And then he decided he didn't want us to have them. So Sam was like, he'd like rip it out of your wallet and get it back. It was just tough. But yeah, we were afraid of him. Roy Blount Jr. is 78 years old today. He wrote one of the most famous football books of all time. Tony La Russa is 75 today. Still looking good. He could be the next GM, for all we know. How old do you guys think Susan Sarandon is today?
94.
Old droopy eyes.
God, she was so old.
No, that's old.
She was
eyes.
So old in that baseball movie.
Bull
was
Durham?
That Bull Durham?
Yeah, she was.
Like, totally miscast.
Yeah, you wanted somebody a little younger there?
Susan Sarandon is 64.
Elmer and Louise.
She's
sexy.
64 today.
No.
She's older than that.
She's older than that.
They're both right. She's going to like you.
75.
73.
Okay.
Susan Sarandon,
By the way, you don't really believe Tony La Russa could be the GM.
No, but it's such a... Things are so in disarray over there. I was throwing out Dan Duquette, and there's a million things you can do over there now.
The Fab Four and Sam.
Okay.
Liev Schreiber is 52 today.
Ooh.
Alicia Silverstone, how old, people?
She's probably 45.
45.
Legally Blonde, 43. Yeah. Derek Rose, only 31. That kills me. Feels like he's 104. Derek Rose, right? I mean, he was so good.
Legally Blonde is not Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, it's not.
What's Legally Blonde.
Oh, no, Clueless. Clueless.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I get those two confused.
Clueless
is Reese Witherspoon is Legally Blonde.
Yeah. She's really good.
Reese, that actress just got stabbed.
Who did?
Reese, what's her name?
Witherspoon.
No, with a knife.
Wait a minute.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
The setup, so, and it's like, so, you know, the concern on my face. So it's
good.
Like,
so good. So damn good.
You're welcome.
Horrible.
Hey, Dan. Dan, will you hand me that dick fork?
Dakota Jackson is 30 years old today.
He's not falling for that one, so.
Who's Dakota Jackson?
I think she might be, she's an actress.
Anyone know Dakota Jackson?
I'm thinking, is she Shades of Grey?
Oh, maybe. That sounds right.
I don't know. She's in something big now.
No idea who that is.
I don't know.
Johnson or Jackson, Dan?
That was the best one ever. I'm going to use that. How you do it again?
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, he picked your spot.
Reese, what's her name?
That's like a Chris Berman, Bert being by 11.
Oh, God. Oh, he texted me the other day. I said, hey, it's a Boomer. It's so good to have you and DJ back because they're doing countdown. Not countdown, but NFL primetime.
Yeah.
He's like, he could go all the Z-O-L-A.
Oh, yeah.
It is Dakota Johnson.
Oh,
That's who it is.
Don Johnson's daughter.
Is she Shades of Grey?
What?
Yes. Yes.
She is?
Yes. Okay.
Great.
She's also in something big now. Anyway.
That movie turned you on?
No. Did not see it. Did not read it.
You haven't seen
it? One of those ones that's on cable every now and then you just skip it.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, part two is really good.
Really? Stuff that happened on October 4th. In 1940, the Führer and Mussolini conferred at in the Alps. It was not a good time.
Converted to what?
They conferred. It was not good for Italy to be conferring.
They were converted.
Italy was on the wrong side of that thing. 1957, Sputnik was launched. This was a biggie for America.
Russian satellite.
A Russian satellite, thank you. It's perfect. And we decided we were behind in the space race, and we caught up. We beat them to the moon.
Don't we have a space thing now? Super space thing? Club?
Space Force.
Oh, yeah.
Biggie, 1970, Janis Joplin found dead in her Hollywood hotel room.
27 Club.
27
Bobby
Club.
McGee.
Drug overdose. La, la, la. So, what football person did Janis Joplin go to high school with? The answer is Jimmy Jones.
Who the hell is Jimmy Jones?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a...
Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
You got a thing with Johnson.
I was going to say that, and I said, that's not going to be one for,
Well, you said it, and I thought Jerry Jones... But then I remembered that you screw up
it's
the
Jimmy
last name.
Johnson.
Yeah, you don't screw up the first name. You screw up the last name.
Jimmy Johnson with the hair. So they went to high school in Texas together. They were like in the same class. Right. Janis Joplin and Jimmy Johnson. Triple Crown winner Secretariat died on this day in 1989.
Racing at Santa Anita.
He was destroyed at the age of 19.
Oh.
Had a hoof ailment.
They killed him.
Could have been Santa Anita.
Yeah. Something wrong with the paw. The
humanely
foot.
Destroyed. So however they do that. 2002, American Taliban John Walker Lind received a 20-year sentence after a sobbing plea for forgiveness before a federal judge in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah. Isn't he out now?
It was the Virginia shooter,
well,
right?
It was 20,
is that the
well,
shooter?
Unless he got,
he was. He was released in May.
That's
I saw this story.
It's so a 20-year sentence. So he
was released in May.
Behavior.
He was on the loose in Virginia, right? He was the Virginia shooter, right?
He's American Taliban.
American Taliban.
What the hell is that story coming out of
your he was released this past
this
May.
DC sniper. Yeah. From Lee
he's out. He's out and about.
He's out in prison. He's out of prison.
God, that is not good.
Yep.
Stuff that happened on this date in 2014. Baby Doc DeValier died at the age of 63 in Port-au-Prince. Paul Revere of Paul Revere and the Raiders died on this date in 2014. Last year in this date, the Kavanaugh hearings got going in an ugly fashion. Some baseball things happened in this state. In 2003, Trot Nixon hit a home run to stave off elimination for the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS against the A's. They were down 2-0. Nixon kept the series alive, and the Sox won it in 5, leading only to the Grady Little moment 10 days later in New York City. Yeah. On this date in 2012, after a 69-93 season, Bobby Valentine was fired by the Boston Red Sox. One of those press conferences over there. On this date in 2000, I don't have the date. Beverly Hills 90210. What would it be that, like 1990?
Put a banana in a tailpipe.
Right. Beverly Hills 90210.
Premier 90210 premiered.
And we have
1990.
Okay, so 30. And we have an audio clip. This is amazing to realize. This was 1 year ago today. I'm getting a little bobblehead over there. 1 year ago today, this happened at the TD Garden.
Yeah, they're my family. Yeah.
Share that with some of my teammates, as well as the organization, everyone else in Boston. You guys will have me back. I plan on resigning here next year.
You know, Scal sitting there in this.
Wow. That was only a year ago.
A year ago today, Kyrie was.
And it seems like he's been
Celtics.
What? Dan, we're in the middle of the. Oh, okay. I thought he was leaving
Kyrie bubblehead.
Because we were into Frover time. I thought Dan was leaving.
Yeah, look at this Frover time. There it is.
Right there. Uncle Drew.
What a guy.
What a guy.
All right, we have a theme song from a TV show that debuted on this date. Let's see if who the first to name it is. Whenever you're ready.
Leave it to Beaver.
My Three Sons.
Wow, very good, Dan. 1957.
Yeah.
Beetle, you probably never watched Leave It to Beaver.
Not on Nickelodeon, nothing?
Good show.
Right up
hey,
into,
Warren,
right
you're a little harder than the Beaver today.
Yeah. Right up until the point Wally went through puberty, and then it got weird.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't.
Hi, Mrs. Cleaver.
You couldn't fall for the adolescent hijinks anymore.
Oh, gee, Beave, Dad.
I don't know if you should do that, Beave.
Like, you're practically a grown-ass man there.
I mean, like, what home like was like that? And like, everybody sat down
June
with
June was wearing pearls all day.
Oh, yeah.
Working at home.
I've been baking all day.
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where they put up the basketball hoop in the driveway and Ward went out there and he was just a total ball hog and he's out there doing like the old school Rick Barry sky hooks and pretty soon the kids went down the street to play somewhere else.
Did not know. That's
nice
a good
going,
one.
Ward.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Awesome. I used to watch that. I used to watch the Brady's. Brady Bunch.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay,
never once did I say, like,
that's it.
Why do they have AstroTurf as their yard?
2:30 for overtime.
That. Oh, that's true.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'll see you guys on
Appreciate
game day
it,
week.
Dan.
Thanks for the extra time, Dan.
You'll see you next Thursday.
No. Kidding.
No. Bad game. Phil Perry will be with us in studio coming up after these headlines.
He's gone.
He'll be with us momentarily. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.